This is Zion and Life on Waiheke Radio. And one of the people, hopefully, who will be here very, very soon is Frankie Hill, who in the 80s and 90s was part of a band called Fatal Jelly Space. They were a pretty ferocious live outfit, and they put out a release on Flying Nun, but, and also did some other recordings which didn't see the light of day but have been released over the last little while. And hopefully Frankie will be in to talk to us about that very, very shortly. And what I want to play for you here is something which was recorded here on Waiheke quite some time ago now. This was back in the days of The Beach, when The Beach was the radio station here on the island, 2003, so 12-odd years ago. Frankie came in and performed on a show I had, Counting the Beat, which was a kind of New Zealand music show. During New Zealand Music Month in 2003, we featured live performances, and this is one that she recorded back in the day. She did an acoustic version of one of those Fatal Jelly Space songs. Here's Frankie Fatal.
Find a way, oh, under your skin, and your misery. I feel so cold, I feel so old. I'm strong to the jumping right in. I'm joining the fun. Oh, break out of my skin. I come from the earth. Go to the stars. I'm no fire, I'm living it all. If you want to join me, you must be alive. Come in the fall, man.
Yeah, that was Frankie Hill, and that was recorded live on the beach in 2003. I remember having goosebumps when that played, actually, Frankie, because I was a big fan of the Fatal Jelly Space EP, and to hear that song True to That Way was a real treat. So, well, Frankie has just walked in.
You have to tell me what the song was.
It was, what song was it? It was, oh, I don't know what it was called.
Was it an old Fatal song?
Yeah.
It was probably You're Wasting Away.
Yeah, that's it.
I can't think of the name. I'm having a senior moment.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we just played that. Yes. Yeah. So Frankie, so Fatal Jelly Space, I mean, in my mind, were a significant band.
in my mind they were too.
Yeah. And you know, I suppose people think of Flying Nun, and just pull that microphone down a little bit so you don't have to crane yourself so much.
I don't think it's going to stay that way.
No, that's all right. Okay. Well, you can bend it.
Yeah, the mics at the B were like that too.
Yeah.
Up and down.
Yeah, maybe not quite so much.
Not quite so much.
Yeah, that's good.
Like that?
Yeah, we're good.
All right.
Okay, so people think of Flying Nun, an iconic New Zealand label, and probably think of kind of jangle pop, you know, the Clean, Tally Ho, which is up for the 1981 Silver Scroll
fantastic
at the moment.
Fantastic song.
Yeah, and, you know, and the Chills, and who've got a new album coming out and stuff like that.
Also fantastic band.
You know, so, but there's kind of, I suppose, this the stereotyping of the kind of jangle pop, you know, influenced by the Velvet Underground, by the Birds and so on. Mm. Fatal Jelly Space weren't like that at all.
Mm.
So how did you end up on Flying Nun?
I'm not really sure. I think we sucked Roger in, actually, because in the early days, a lot of the stuff that we did was written prior to the formation of the band by Jacinda and Rachel, who were two people who performed under the name The Groovy Girls, and they wrote this really great, fantastic, short little catchy pop songs. They were like 2.5 minutes long. Songs like Cut Off Your Boyfriend's Head. I like Black Levi's because they look so good on guys. You know, they were really catchy, really punchy, and some of our songs were like that. But as we came together as a unit and started to write together, that changed. And so I've always suspected that Roger signed us on the strength of that early stuff, and by the time we came to actually record and put out the album, the EP, we'd kind of changed, yeah.
Yeah. So the band was around what, from the late 80s through to the mid 90s?
Yeah, early 90s, not mid, yeah. We had one lineup change, and we kind of limped along for about a year with that lineup change and then broke up, yeah. Because when that sort of combination of people wasn't there anymore, it just didn't really work.
And so you put out the whole EP, came out what year?
I think it was 91. Yeah, I can't remember numbers.
Yeah. So 91, so I suppose in a way, I mean, you know, at a similar kind of time, or perhaps a little later, was when that whole, you know, in the US, the Riot Girl kind of movement with bands like Bikini Kill and stuff like that was taking off. But you didn't kind of manage to get on the crest of that wave, did you?
No, well, I guess we weren't really trying to. When we first started, it was you know, we were just having fun and we didn't have any particular agenda. And it kind of went a lot further than any of us really ever thought it would. Yeah. I mean, it was fantastic that it did. But I'm not particularly driven in that regard, and I'm not sure that any of the others were either, you know. So it just kind of happened. We sort of fell into it, yeah.
And so you put out the EP, you featured on the Shrewd Flying Nun compilation of Flying Nun acts, you know, female acts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you were playing all around the country as well, weren't you?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I loved it. Yeah.
I remember seeing you playing at, I think, Dunedin Town Hall as part of
that would have been the Smoke Free Women's thing that we did. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that was great. We got flown down. We felt like rock stars. Yeah.
And so as well as the EP, though, you did some other recordings back then that didn't come out at the time,
didn't you? That's right, because those recordings were done kind of, well, we wrote the music, we wrote the material, and then the band kind of ended up being in the state of flux, and one of our key members left and was replaced, and we had to rejig some of them, and we did the recordings without one of the people that had kind of been instrumental in writing them, and then the band kind of petered out, really. So, yeah, they just sat there for a long, long time. We had a reunion dinner a little while ago. Catherine, the drummer, came back from Australia, and we managed to hunt down everybody else, and Sarah, who was the keyboard player, came up from Wellington, where she lives now, and we got together with Suzanne, our old manager, and from there, I'd been trying actually for a while before that to resecure the rights to our old stuff from Flying Nun, because Flying Nun had kind of gotten purchased by
Warner's, I think.
It ended up in Warner's stable, and it wasn't really going anywhere. And then Roger and someone else purchased it back. And I ran into Roger and said to him, you know, I'd really like to buy the rights. And it kind of, he said, yeah, cool. And that never went anywhere. And so, I'd thought about it, and they obviously thought about it. So we just started putting out what we had, our old demos and some live recordings and the actual kind of the rough mixes of the recordings that we did. We've lost the originals. We never mixed them down properly. Never did mastering or anything like that. So they're just, I guess, essentially pretty expensive demos. Yeah, of some stuff. So, but they're all going out on Facebook and Bandcamp, which is great.
Yeah, and I thought we might play something.
Yeah, fantastic.
So is there anything particularly you want to play? So there's you've got the Fatals Live, the live album up there, and what else have we got? We've got American Dog Food, we've got Madman's Kingdom, Voodoo Pin, Boyfriend's Head,
yeah.
Hog Heaven,
yeah.
The Dark is Rising. What do you want?
Is that from the live one or the...
Which one?
The Dark is Rising.
Dark is Rising. Let's have a look.
Because there's a version on Fatals Live, but there's also...
This is the... No, I don't think this is the live one. It doesn't say, actually.
Oh, yeah. That'll do. Dark is Rising.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was recorded where and when?
It was at the lab, when the lab was in Simon Street. And it would have been probably in 92... maybe the beginning of 93. Like I said, I can't remember numbers. So, and it's all a blur. But it was the early days of Kiwi. Had Kiwi FM started? Maybe not. I think Karen Hay was doing a show on BFM, actually, because we rushed up with one of the mixes and she played it before we'd... so that was before Kiwi FM had started, and Karen and...
It would have been well before, yeah.
Fagan, yeah. So, but yeah. Anyway, so yeah.
Okay, well, let's give it a spin.
Yeah.
If you want to forget, fataljellyspace.bandcamp.com. That's The Dark Is Rising from Fatal Jelly Space, and Frankie from Fatal Jelly Space is with us. So you're saying there's a video out for that, Frankie?
Yes, Jacinda, who's the lead singer in that track, a fantastically talented woman, is an animator, and she has made an animated video for it, which is up on our Facebook page. So if you search Fatal Jelly Space on Facebook, you'll find it. Yeah, it's fantastic, and because she wrote the words to that song. And that song was kind of a tribute to a series of books that she was into. The Dark Is Rising, I think, is the name of the series. I can't remember the name of the author, but there's a note about it on the video.
Oh, yeah, Susan Cooper.
So So it's a really cool little video. It's great.
All this stuff has come back out now, and I mean, obviously, there's a sense of pride in what the band did and the songs you recorded. So is there more to it than that? Are you planning reunions or anything?
No. I wouldn't know how to play any of those songs anymore. We've all got very, very different lives now, and I don't know. I guess you should never say never, but I don't know. It's not something that's in the forefront for me. I probably wouldn't say no if someone said, "Do you want to do one Fatal Jelly Space gig for blah blah?" But I don't know. I sort of feel like I've moved on, and everybody else has moved on. Really, it's a nice memory that we've all got together, and I am really proud of what we achieved and what we, you know, that music. I really like that music, and I still think that, you know, we were genuinely artistically inclined, you know, as a band. It wasn't about getting famous or getting rich. We were just really interested in making music that was interesting and artistic and fulfilling in some way. So and consciously sort of trying not to fall into old musical cliches, you know. We were conscious about that too. So, you know, yeah, so that's a bit of a long, rambling answer to that question.
Well, no, and, you know, for fans like me, and I think for anyone interested in kind of alternative music from New Zealand, and that, I think what was a very kind of rich and prolific era, the late 80s and 90s, you should certainly check out fataljellyspace.bandcamp.com.
Cheers.
And it's a great listen. You're still dabbling in music, of course.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't call it dabbling. I'm still... not that I'm offended by that, but, yeah. Yeah, no, I just, music's part of my life, you know, and I'll never stop playing music, regardless of, you know, whether anybody wants to actually see me play live or not. It's just part of who I am, you know, and I think that's probably true for everybody in the band to some extent or other, you know, that music's just, for some people, music's not part of their life, you know, and I find that very puzzling, but music's just there. Always will be.
Oh, well, thanks very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you for asking me, and I'm very, very sorry I was late.
Oh, well, it was nice because it gave us a chance to listen to Miseria, Fatal Jelly Space, your version of that. So thanks very much. That's Frankie Hill, and as I say, fataljellyspace.bandcamp.com. Wakey Radio.